Today's reading from the book of the prophet Isaiah is one of those standard late December readings that has become such a part of our Advent preparations as to seem more a part of the story of the birth of Jesus Christ than of some other point in history. Unfortunately, this is not true. The words of the prophet recorded in the 7th chapter of Isaiah are part of the story of their own, one that we would do well to recount if we are to look for any deeper meaning in this text for ourselves. The setting of the story is during a particular siege of Jerusalem by the kings of Aram and Damascus in the mid-8th century BC. Fearing for the future of his kingdom, Ahaz is in the process of slipping out the back door of the city in order perhaps to reform his armies or at least save his own life from the coming invasion. Ahaz and his entourage are met at the exit to a secret tunnel to the city by the prophet Isaiah, who has an important message of hope for them to hear. God is about to act powerfully and in favor of the Israelites. All Ahaz needs to do is sit tight. Ahaz is incredulous. How will he know that this is about to take place? A sign, the prophet says. Ask for a sign. Make it anything you want. Ahaz hesitates. Seems he must feel that he shouldn't bother God with such trivialities, especially if God's working to save the city. Or maybe he's just tired of being disappointed and doesn't really believe that God will act at all. And so Ahaz declines. And God and the prophet sigh. The king's false modesty is as tedious as the siege itself. So God himself will choose the sign, and Isaiah will describe it. Behold, there's going to be a lot of that in this sermon, there's a lot of prophets. Behold, the prophet exclaims, in 700 years a virgin will conceive and bear a son. He'll not be a normal baby, though. This child will be God in flesh. So she will call him Emmanuel, which means God is with us. But only in December. For the rest of the year, they will call him Jesus, which is kind of like Joshua. It means God saves his people. Boy, I think Ahaz must have felt better, don't you? I'm not sure that's the most helpful thing Isaiah could have said. And it kind of begs the question, what exactly does the birth of a universal Savior have to do with the real-world plight of the Israelites besieged 7 centuries prior? A similar question can be asked of our current commitments and practices around Christmas, I think. I must confess that my personal allegiances run towards the Jesus story rather than Santa Claus or the elf on the shelf. Though not to the point that I post vitriol on social media about keeping the Christ in Christmas. I much prefer keeping the vent in Advent. Without the birth of Jesus, there would be no Christmas at all. And the location of Christmas in the calendar among these days of dwindling light at the end of what may be for many a pretty tough year seems to me to be the ideal time to recount a story of hope. The hope that Jesus brought into the world on that first Christmas morn. But again, I ask, what does the birth of a universal Savior have to do with the real world plight of Houstonians 20 centuries later? Does knowing that all of God came to earth in a fully human child really help the lonely and the outcast? The poor and the infirm, the immigrant, the orphan, the imprisoned, the widowed? Does it help any of these to find hope in the midst of their suffering? Does the fact that this same child lived and healed and taught and suffered and died and even rose from the grave to ascend back to heaven help at all with freeing anyone from crushing financial debt, human trafficking, or even pain and grief of losing a loved one during the holiday season? Maybe, but probably not to the extent that we would like. But wait, Art, some may say, isn't the hope of this season about the second coming of Christ too? Aren't we looking forward to the time when God will set the world to rights and put an end once and for all to all systems that have bound us to cycles of unloving and unfaithful action since way back in those days before King Ahaz tried to slip out of Jerusalem? Yes. As far as I know, that day is still in the future. And whether we hold to a notion that it could be tomorrow, or there may be still many years to come, the simple lack of finitude in any answer is enough to rob such statements of their hopefulness, particularly in the face of the type of emergent and painful situations that really plague people this time of year. Though God is eternal, and as witnessed in Scripture, always ready to play the long game, there are many instances in the text that reflect God's interest in meeting immediate and contemporary needs in the lives of people. From providing manna and quail and water to hungry and thirsty wanderers in the wilderness, to immediately healing the physical and spiritual sickness, the God of Abraham and Isaac and Jacob in the deep mythology of the Torah is also the God of Ahaz in the season of his fear. It's also the God of Martha in the days of her grief. Also the God of the thief who repented at the hour of his death. Look closely at the final verses of the Isaiah passage again. The prophet, somewhat cryptically, reports that the invading armies that so trouble Ahaz will be gone within the next 2 years. It's about how long, at least biblically, it takes for kids to learn the difference between good and bad. You may have different experiences. But this was the work of hope to Ahaz during the siege of Jerusalem. Maybe 2 years seems a little far off for such hope, but it's still a lot better than 700. And what's more, if the historical record is to be believed, it happened. Just like God said it would. So what does this mean for us? How does the prophecy of the child Emmanuel, God is with us, affect the way that we find or share hope during the holiday season? Maybe it is to revive or simply join our more cranky contemporaries and pick up the battle cry of Christ in Christmas. Now don't roll your eyes at me, at least not yet. I'm not supporting angry Facebook posts or putting an inflatable Santa Claus who's kneeling at the manger in front of your door. What I'm suggesting is that we seriously consider the role that hope in and of Jesus plays in our understanding of Christmas. What does Christmas look like if, in addition to celebrating the birth of Jesus 2,000 years ago and proclaiming that he will come again in power and great triumph to judge the world, what if we tried to focus on the continuing reality of God being with us even here, even now? What happens if we make our Christmas devotion less about the far past and the indefinite future, and more about God's presence in the ongoing reality of our lives right here in Houston in December of 2019? That sounds like a good spot for an amen, doesn't it? Can't let you off the hook that easy, though. I've got to know. Can you feel Christ coming into the world here and now? I hope so. I mean, we practice the real presence of Christ each Sunday morning right here at this altar, don't we? So we of all people should be familiar with what it feels like to have Christ in our midst. So let's take it to the next level. Can you feel the presence of Christ outside of this place? If Sunday morning is practicing the real presence of Christ, then we ought to be getting better at that same discernment on the field of play, so to speak. Can you feel God's presence in the streets of the city? Can you perceive God's movements? Do you have the sense that God is not only planning to do good things, but may in fact be already doing them? I hope so. I have this t-shirt that hangs in my closet that talks about God in the midst of the city. Maybe you have one too. So if we are thus convinced that God is really here among us and in our community, then we can be like Isaiah and speak the presence into the life and experience of someone else. Can you provide hope to another person based on what you know about God's presence and your sure conviction that God has never and will never abandon his people? Can you play the prophet during the season of Christmas? Oh, the awkward silence. I get it. Prophecy is a tall order. And many of us have finally choked down evangelism. That is, sharing what God has done in our lives. And that was hard enough. What am I doing asking for us to share what we think God is about to do or is doing presently in the lives of others? I get it. Maybe we're not there yet. Maybe we can simply ask God for a sign. Let it be deep as Sheol or high as heaven, says Isaiah. God is here working, and I can assure you of that. God deeply desires for you to feel his presence and see his handiwork so that you can have hope and share that hope with others too. God is with us. So go ahead. Do it. Ask for a sign. And then sit back and wonder at the power of our God. Amen.